Merry Christmas, Grace Church. And Merry Christmas to those who are watching on the web. I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas season. I don't know if you had a chance to see last night's Christmas Eve service, but I have to say that I thought it was really cute. And it was fun to see the kids up there and singing their praises. But what pleased me most is not just the cuteness of it all, although that was kind of cool. What I really loved is the fact that the children had an opportunity to participate in serving the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we end up kind of leaving kids kind of have their own program, their own side stuff, but they're a vital part of the ministries of Grace Church. They're a vital part of the community of God. And there is no segment of the church family that doesn't have a role in playing in serving Jesus Christ. And so when these kids could come up and they could sing and they could give of their talents, then it just warms my heart. Also, I'm so thankful for those adults that poured themselves into that, to all that work with the programming. If you've worked with kids, you know that it can be exhausting. And so I'm just thankful for those who have given their time and their talents to allow the children to give so much of themselves. And on top of that, I got to say, I always enjoy the candle lighting. I wish there was a way for everybody to be able to see from the front and to just see the magnificence of every light being lit. And I think what I so enjoy about that is it's such a picture of what Jesus is at work doing in this world, slowly but surely making his way through every faithful person who shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can see that his light slowly takes hold. Sometimes it's a little dim at first, and then it takes flame in the person's life, and then that person has something they can pass on as well. And I just love that imagery. So I thought last night's service was fun and praiseful, and but I'm mostly thankful in all of it that I'm part of a family of God, such as I am. You bring such enjoyment and encouragement and life to this man, and I just rejoice in being a part of the family of God. It's fantastic stuff. So this morning, I wanted to start with a bit of a confession. You see, over the years, I've been sort of down on the song, The Little Drummer Boy. From time to time, I've shared this with trusted friends. And usually, that confession brings forth a certain measure of derision and judgment upon me. And almost always, there's an immediate defense of Mrs. Davis's music. You know, you just have to, what's wrong with you? You're a Grinch. You know, you've got to love this song. So I know that it may sound a little bit like a sort of musical blasphemy, a Christmas music blasphemy, if there's such a category. But I've struggled. I've struggled with the song's repetition, the rum-pa-pum-pum. And I've struggled with what I saw as the lyrical melodrama of it all. But I have to confess that this season I've had a change of heart when it comes to this song. And I don't know really why. Exactly. Perhaps it's just the Spirit of God working in me. Perhaps it's just that my heart has grown two sizes bigger. You know, my shoes are not as tight as they were. Maybe it's because it's been a rough year for me in a lot of ways. And through the year's challenges, I have found myself increasingly dependent upon the Lord Jesus in a way that I had never, ever experienced before in my adult life. And I suppose that it's that sense of dependence, maybe that sense of vulnerability that's kind of helped to sharpen my vision, sharpen my understanding of the wonders of who God is and what he's done for me through Jesus. There's nothing quite as sharpening as laying in a hospital bed getting ready to go into surgery and knowing that they're gonna put you out, and you don't really have the promise of waking up again. You want that to be the case, but you don't really have that promise. And so it has a way of clarifying what it is you believe, what it is you put your trust in. And through that experience, I think I've had a renewal of faith. It's increased my desire to love Christ with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength, or whatever that is in me, however weak those things are. And I've been left feeling so very thankful for His provision and His great and abundant blessings. So anyway, that said, this morning I find myself, I've been humming this song, The Little Drummer Boy, throughout the season. And so this morning I wanted to share with you what I think I see in the song. But before we do that, let's just start with a prayer. Father God, I pray that You will take these, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and I pray that You'll do something with them. Father, I recognize that there's no word that I could ever bring to the table that has any power. It's all because of what You do and Your indwelling Spirit. So I pray that Your Spirit would be at work in this moment. And I pray, Father God, that in some way You would be at work in Your Spirit, speaking words of encouragement, words of hope to this congregation and all those who might hear it. And I pray, Father God, that Your name would be uplifted and glorified through it all. So I entrust this time to You with a thankful heart. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, you're going to have to fill in the rum-pa-pum-pums, because I'm probably not going to do them all. And I'm sure that won't be hard for you all, because it's probably spent right in there. You know, it's built right into you. You're probably already doing it now, rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. It's like that Beatles song, you know, you sing it, and it's very strange, and you hear it throughout your days. So these are the words for the first part of the song. Come, they told me, harumpa-pum-pum, a new-born king to see. Our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king, so to honor him when we come. Now, the word had gone out, apparently, that something special, something truly remarkable had happened. You know the story. The scripture says, an angel of the Lord appeared, saying, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. And then a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. News of the coming of the Messiah is so wonderful. The news of the coming Messiah is so amazing that it must be followed by a response commensurate with its glory. And so the song pictures the wise men making their way to Bethlehem, bearing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, all to recognize, all in an attempt to recognize the glory and the majesty of the one who had been called Messiah, King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What other response could there be to the glorious provision of Messiah but to testify and to glorify God, to glorify this newborn king by bringing him the best they had to offer and the best we have to offer, and in such a way to honor him. After all, the Bible tells us that God is worthy of honor, and God is worthy of our praise. The scripture declares in Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created and brought into being. And so we should rightfully praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine. Dance before Him. Praise Him with strings. strings and pipe. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with the loud clashing cymbals, the scripture declares. In essence, everything that is in us should praise the news of the coming of the Messiah, to praise God for the glory that he has given to us in the provision of the Christ, because it is good to give thanks to the Lord. So the little boy in the song was called to respond to the coming of the Christ as he witnessed the response of the wise men. He witnessed these people. They were testifying by their actions that something glorious had happened, something that demanded a response. And we are confronted by the call. We're confronted by that same call to recognize the glory of God's provision that God has made for us by lovingly providing to us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, through whom God has made a way. God has made a way for us by faith to be forgiven and redeemed from the power of sin and death, and forever, forever reconciled to God and granted an inheritance that'll never perish, it'll never spoil, it'll never fade. The announcement of this, the coming of the Christ, demands a response. It is so glorious. It demands a response. But here's the rub. God gave this gift of Christ to a people who are a mess. We are, as the scripture says, we are jars of clay. That is, we're made fragile. We are fragile by our sinful hearts and our acts. We are weak in resolve. We are easily led astray. We are easily broken. And the scripture says that the god of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So not only are we by nature and by choice a mess, but we also have an enemy. We have an enemy that seeks to use our messiness, to use our weakness against us for his own purposes. We're in such a compromised state that on our own, not only do we not have it in our power to recognize the wonder of God's provision of Jesus, but we also can't respond to him on our own without his help. So if we're gonna see the newborn king, if we're going to respond to this call, the magnificence of what God has done, if we're going to have any appropriate response, well, then we need God to help us see it. We need God to remove the blindness that owns us. Because it's just not obvious to us in our natural state. The wonder of what God has done will just not be obvious to us. He has to announce it. He has to awaken us to our need. He has to show us the glory of what he has done. And the Bible says that God did just that. God did just that. And he does it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who testifies to the truth of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. That is to say that it's the Holy Spirit that breaks through our spiritual blindness and then works in us so we can begin to grasp, and I mean just grasp, how high and wide and long and deep is God's love for us in Christ. And then to understand the magnificence of God's provision of grace, provision that's been poured out upon us in Christ Jesus. Without the work of the Spirit, none of that would be possible on our own. And as the wonder of God's gift to us in Christ begins to dawn on us, you know, just begins to dawn, it's the Spirit of God at work in us that confronts us with our sin. So it's kind of like utter darkness, and God proclaims the coming of the Messiah. Can't see it. Can't understand it. And the light begins to creep over the mountain. And slowly but surely, what has been in darkness, we can now see a little more clearly. That's a work of the Spirit, that we can see it. And then, not only can we see the world around us, but we become aware of just how bad off we are. In light of the glories of the wonders of God, we begin to recognize, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to recognize just how sinful we are. Just what a mess we are. And it's the dawning of this conviction. It's the dawning of this conviction that, look at me, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. The light is shining upon me, and I've got nothing. I got nothing. Don't look at me. It's what Peter said in the boat. Don't turn away from me. Turn away from me. That's this conviction that I think I hear in this next verse. It says, little baby, I'm a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. Here, I think there's that recognition that there's nothing. There's nothing the boy and the song can bring that would even come close to being an adequate response to the glory and the wonder of the provision that's been given by God through the birth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing he can do. There's no work that would ever be adequate, that would ever be adequate in response to God's glorious gift. There's nothing. And you may sit in your head and say, well, you know, we bring something to the table. I say, no, you bring zero to the table. Nothing to the table. Now, perhaps you know this feeling of disparity between being given a great gift and knowing that you don't have any way of responding in kind and expressing your thankfulness. Maybe you've experienced that in some small measure. Now, this isn't exactly the same, but I think I'm confronted by this feeling very regularly when I think on my boys and my wife. I feel so blessed by God. I am so thankful that He has seen fit to have them be a part of my life. And I recognize in the wonder of that gift that I am not deserving of that blessing. And so I find my words wholly inadequate to express my joy and the love that I have when I'm in their presence. In the song, God is at work in this little drummer boy, causing him to recognize the wonder of the gift, awakening in him the truth, and causing him to see that he's not able. He's not able in and of himself. He's not fit. He has nothing of his own. He has no gift to bring to honor such a king. So what is he to do? And in the next part of the song, we see the Spirit of God working in, I think, another way. Now the Spirit helps the boy to understand what he's to do, how he can respond. The song says, "Shall I play for you?" Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. And then he smiled at me and my drum. It seems to me the boy recognized that the birth of this king demanded a response from him. He heard that call by the power of the Spirit, and he understood that he had nothing to give, again, by the power of the Spirit. And still he was compelled to respond to the gift that God had given him. And so he offered the only thing he had. The only thing he had. He gave himself to the king. And he gave his talent for playing the drum. Now from the outside looking in, it's really not that much of a gift. It's kind of like the widow's mite. It's pretty humble. After all, he's only a boy, and he's a poor boy at that. He doesn't have years and years of life's experience. He doesn't have a whole lot of wisdom. Just a little guy. And he has a fairly mediocre talent for the drum. I would suggest it's pretty limited, Brandon. I mean, he plays the same stuff over and over and over again. Rump-a-pum-pum. Rump-a-pum-pum. Can you imagine being his parent? You know? I guess better that than a beginning clarinetist. You know? But you can't go very far as a percussionist if you're limited to rump-a-pum-pum, 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 and everyone in the house doing this. But regardless of his lowly status and his apparently mediocre drumming, it's his willingness to give all, his willingness to give all he has to Jesus and to trust that this offering, such as it is, will be received. That's what made Christ smile. That's what made the Christ child smile. And this reminds me of that great and glorious truth from Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace we are saved, through faith. God brings everything to us, and we have nothing but weakness and mediocrities and stumblings and all the other sinful junk that encumbers and confuses our lives. That's what we have to offer him back. But because we trust him with what we have to give, desiring to honor him with our lives such as they are, God accepts our faith in Christ and graciously receives our gifts as fitting for a king, fitting for the king. God is not looking for you to be what you are not. He's not looking for you to be what you are not before he'll receive you. He wants you to come to him in faith, bringing who you are and laying that before him and trusting that he will receive you and make you the offering of praise that he called you to be and to give to him. He is the one who makes you an offering of the praise that's pleasing and acceptable to him. I love that, gang. I love that. If I look at all the stuff that I bring to the table, which amounts to nothing in light of the glories and the wonders of God, I realize I don't bring anything to the table. And yet, as I pour my trust into him, as I pour my faith into him, he receives me and he turns that mess into an act of worship and praise for his holy name. That's amazing. That's a wondrous thing to say that I can come to the table and not be the greatest of speakers, and yet he will receive it as praise. I can come to play my musical instrument in faith and trust that I can give him who I am and give him my talents, and he receives them with a smile and joy, and he receives it as praise. To think that I can bring all the other mediocrities of my life, and he receives it as praise because I'm trusting him with it. To think that he could take last night's act of worship from those little kids and he receives it with joy as we put and they put their trust in, that God loves this. God, we're giving to God what we have. I think that's wondrous news. And it's exceedingly freeing. It's exceedingly freeing. The issue so often is we get in the way. Rather than simply trusting him with the rump-a-pum of our life, we try to earn it in some way. When all he really calls us to do is play our drum, play your drum, and come rump-a-pum-pumming to him. So this holiday season, I've been hearing this song differently than I have in the past. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus this morning, I am reminded again that it was God who announced the glorious news of his coming. We didn't stumble upon it. God announced it. And I was drawn to that proclamation of God's gift by the Holy Spirit. And I was drawn to the proclamation of that gift and through the testimony of others. This Christmas, perhaps you know the story of his coming. Maybe you've heard it. But maybe you haven't actually heard the glorious proclamation of what Jesus' birth means for you. My prayer for you this season is that you'll allow the Spirit to announce that Jesus has come to you. That you'll be listening for the Spirit. And may the testimony of many others add to the Spirit's working in your life to call you to recognize the King. And I'm reminded this morning that it was a work of the Holy Spirit that made it clear to me that I had no gift to lay before the King. I have no gift that would be adequate in response to the gift that God gave to me and all the broken and sinfulness and rebelliousness of humanity. We have nothing. And if you've received the news of the calling, I pray that you'll be reminded that there is no gift, there is no work of your own that you can lay before the King to honor Him and respond to the greatness of what God has done for you in Christ. And then the song reminds me that it was that same work of the Holy Spirit that awakened me to the truth that this gift of God can only be opened. It can only be received when by faith I play my drum for Him. That's when I give to God all that I am, with all its inconsistencies, with all its confusions, with all its hurts and failings. And when I do, when I play my drum for Him, I'm assured that He will receive me, for He turns none away who call upon Him in faith. This Christmas morning, I pray that you'll receive Christ by faith and choose to give to Him by faith all that you are, trusting that He turns no one away who comes to Him in faith. And in this way, you'll be able to truly open the gift that God has provided for you and give Him the praise He deserves. At the close of this season, as I've celebrated this Christmas morning, I have in mind to spend the rest of my life playing my drum for Him. And allowing the relentless rum-pum-pum of this life to be laid before Him as King and to honor Him. I hope you can say the same. Merry Christmas. Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for Your many, many gifts. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that You will work in us through the power of Your Spirit to help us understand the great proclamation that was made on that Christmas morning. And I pray that same Spirit would be at work in us, calling us to You, making clear our need. And I pray that same Holy Spirit would convict us of our need to lay ourselves down in faith to receive You. Father God, may this be the greatest of Christmases for someone, as they for the first time open the gift they have in Christ because they've chosen to come to Him in faith. And I know that all of heaven will sing Your praise. So entrust this time to You with a heart that's overflowing with thankfulness for who You are. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.